Do it.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us again for another episode of the Real Estate Hustle Podcast. We've got our first ever U.S. guest with us. We're going to have tons more coming, but Brian Arahan. Brian, I hope I didn't mess up your pronunciation of your last name, but I just wanted to say thank you for being with us. And I'm so excited to hear about your journey and how you got to this incredible place. For those of you that don't know yet, Brian is a recent new Keller Williams operating partner. That's a huge step in his career. I'm pretty sure one of the youngest out there as well. And so we are so excited to have him on the show today. Brian, welcome.
Hey, my pleasure, Andre. I appreciate you, man. Appreciate everything that you're doing in leadership. And I'm just happy to be a part of this conversation today. Let's flip some wigs, man.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So you've been in real estate now for how long, Brian?
11 years.
Nice.
I've been in the industry for, a little bit of mortgage and all that stuff for 13.
Okay.
So real estate, 11.
Okay. Now, were you typical, like most of us that got in here, was it like that second career, third career, or was this like out of the gate, you knew I want to get into real estate?
Out of the gate, man.
That's awesome.
Out of the gate, all straight, no chasers.
That's it. You're out of Cali, right? You're out of California?
Out of California, college, I sold real estate. I was a guy, dressed up, ready to go, and in the back, just walking up and down class, and just in one class, go to a show appointment, come back, get in the next class, type up offers in the conversation, and I'm like, hey, what can you tell me, teach? I'm writing up an offer right now, and that was my life.
That's insane. I think you've got to be the first person I've heard kind of say that, like, out of the gate. But you're still in school. You're doing other stuff, and here you are writing offers. That's cool.
Man. Yeah.
Now it's a family business. I know you guys are expecting, so congrats on that as well. But your wife is also in real estate as well.
Yes. Totally a family business, without a doubt. did not plan it that way. It just happened.
That's awesome. So, and we're hoping to have Mercedes on at some point as well, so she can kind of deep dive. But you've kind of gone more into the leadership side of things. Was that by choice, or did that just happen organically?
Organic, man, by just natural gravitation. I came in, 2010, joined Keller Williams. Obviously with everything that they, KW offers, it was learning right out the gate. So obviously it's going to the sessions, the classes, the events. And really quickly, as in Keller Williams, we start talking business very fast. It's almost impossible to go to any course today and not talk business conversation, business acumen. And over time that really just continued to, percolate my mind. And that was something that I just knew that, and that was something I knew from day one after, reading the MRE. I'm like, all right, I knew that I was going to be in business. I didn't know that how it was going to show up. And real estate just showed up as a vehicle that was going to take me into that business realm. And that's the thing that I've always been more attracted to, is operating a business in the biggest business possible.
I love that. And we get a lot of people that sort of say, what you guys do in the States and what we do here is so different. And I want to kind of unpack that a little bit, because I've never felt that, right? I mean, I came in to KW from another company as well. I had a number of years in real estate under my belt. And similar to you, it happened sort of organically that we ended up in leadership as well. However, we followed the MRA almost to a T, and a lot of it is US based, and you guys have that opportunity. And then you get Canadians sort of saying it doesn't work. And we've kind of gone around that and said, we're just not even going to pretend like it's US based. It is everybody based. I don't care where in the world you are. I think you can apply, like you said, that business acumen, that mindset around building a big business anywhere in the world. Would you agree with that?
Agreed. I agree, man. I say a lot about, the systems that we get in KW, that if you can learn how to operate a successful real estate business, I don't care what it is that you operate after that, whether it be a McDonald's franchise, a Dairy Queen, if you're selling, doing a laundromat,
If you're still going there, Brian, I lost you. I have no connection to you right now.
Consumers attract clients is the same way that you would do here in any way. It's all about finding business, finding new client acquisitions. And however that translates in different languages, it's going to be the same thing. Find new clients.
Yeah. Well, when I love that you said that, because, you know, I don't know if you guys see that, but, you know, there's the 80-20 rule where we have, you know, 80% of the business being done by 20% of the realtors. And I'm sure it's the same there as well. And, you know, we keep getting asked this question, you know, what's the secret? What's the magic pill? You know, what are you guys doing? We had an agent the other day reach out from another company to someone on our team. And he said, you know, what are you guys doing to get listings? And, you know, the agent just responded, follow the model. Like, it's just, you know, we don't have to recreate the wheel. No. We don't have to think anything of it. And it doesn't matter where you are, what country you're in, what brand you're, you know, you fly your flag with, none of that matters. It's just follow a system, follow a model, and you'll have success. Yes. Now that you're sort of in the leadership side of things, what are you seeing from agents coming into the business? Like, is the mindset different? Are they thinking differently? Or is it still the same old game? Like, where's real estate going to you?
it's a loaded question. You know, I think that the industry has changed, and there's a certain segment of agents out there who are still working to catch up with the change. And that's just reality, you know? And so when you say 80-20, honestly, I think with COVID, it's exasperated. We think that it was more 90-10, right? 10% do 90% of the business, and the 90% work to get the 10%, right? That's left over. And it might be 95-5 now, because, you know, the top teams have only gotten stronger, right? The top teams have only gotten better. The top individuals have only gotten better. And so, you know, when we look at it, because the innovation cycle is speeding up more and more and more with technology and the speed of business today, that we've got to be adapting quickly. So when I look at my, you know, my personal sales business, I'm at a crossroads right now, because we've personally restarted that in the last year, right, through my wife. And you know, she had a phenomenal first year period, like better than most agents. And so she went from, you know, brand new in 2 years to, you know, in the top 100 in our valley out of 1,200 agents. So, you know, when you're talking about that, what is that, right? She's in the top 10% day one, in year one. So there you go, 90%, right? Top, you know, 10% doing 90% of the business. Right. And yet leapfrogging agents who've been in the business for 5, 10, 20 years. And I mean, I had a long conversation with an agent yesterday, and, you know, I couldn't tell you how many times, you know, I heard the, I've been in it 30 years and whatnot, no disrespect to it, yet today that, and I think Gary Keller said it, you know, the time in is less impactful than the knowledge taken in and implemented on and activities focused on. So I don't care if you're brand new. I don't care if you've been in the business for 30 years. We still all have the same challenges, which is how do we go to be seen, heard, have that mind share, the people that we're working to stay in front of.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, right? Is that you can come in now as a new agent, and we're seeing the same stuff in our market as well. Yep. Right? I mean, we're seeing agents that are joining the business in the last 2 years, and they're surpassing all the veterans. And I don't know if there's just this like shift where they're not thinking the way we're thinking, you know, they're not educating, they're not learning, they're not doing the stuff that needs to happen.
That is cool.
Right. But they're comfortable. That's the word I love to use, mm-hmm. right? Is they're comfortable with what they have. And so, you know, they might be making, you know, 200,000-300,000. And so they lose two or three deals. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Right? It's not enough, but it's sort of that. I mean, Gary said it, I think 2 years ago, he said, you know, be careful that you're not losing so slowly, you think you're winning.
Exactly.
And that one stuck with me.
Yeah, you know, same here. And I think that's what's been happening with the industry over time is that, you know, we've gotten accustomed to winning in a particular way that's cost us. Because you think, I mean, real estate has been, you know, the average realtor is 55 to 57, right? Second, third, fourth career in some cases. You've already done, right, what you've put out there and set out to do. And so a lot of times when you come into real estate, that's something to just keep you busy, get some transactions, you know, continue to, you know, fund the retirement and be able to travel. Now, if that's your focus coming in, so you're that person compared to the me, right? I came in college, right out of college. I knew I was going to be in real estate. There was nothing else that I was going to do. I had no plan B. And so in the first year, you know, I was within the top 10% of my market center or my company at that time in sales. So, you know, it just really goes to say that, you know, it doesn't matter how much time you have in, it's what are you doing with the time that you have? And can you go out there and talk to as many people as possible and have yourself seen? So I truly believe when we talk about the future in the industry, I believe the average age is going to come down. Again, this is no judgment toward anyone of a certain demographic in regards to age. I truly believe that Google said it themselves. Google said when we had that conversation with them in that family reunion or mega camp, they basically said that 80%, or I think it was like 50 to 60% of people are utilizing brands that they've never used before because of this pandemic, right? Virtually, because if you haven't figured out how to adapt, and for instance, one of the first things that we did when COVID hit, prior actually to COVID, we said we're putting all of our consultations online, right? We were doing Zoom, and so my wife come in. She was doing Zoom consultations from day one, and then she started doing the buyer consultations all on Zoom. So meaning that a group, by the way, she wasn't doing one-on-ones anymore, and so she was doing group buyer consultations, having webinars or seminars online, and now as a result, she's has more time to generate more deals and more people to funnel into that one, you know, one every other week meeting. And now she's getting contracts, multiple contracts every single month as a result of that two standalone meeting. And I would call it 2.5 hours total per month. And so versus I know agents who are still fighting with having Zoom on the as a line item on their expense. Because they're like, I can't justify it. That's what we're talking about.
Well, and then there's still agents that won't even have a P&L. Hey, like
Right.
we're not even at that level with most agents, right? And
Right.
that's a conversation I'm having with a lot of agents is, you know,
Right.
how profitable were you last year? Like when we do some of these consultations with agents, that's one of the first questions we ask is, you know, what was your profit in 2020? And they
Yep.
just look at you, right? They're just blank. They have no
Yep.
idea what you're talking about. And they go, well, I made this much. And it's like, well, that's great. What was your profit?
That's great. That's my auto response. Newport Andre. That's great. Now, what about this?
What about your profit, right? And so, you know, almost inevitably, eight out of the 10 agents that we talked to didn't make profit, right? They made really good money. They earned a really good wage in GCI, but they didn't take home any profit. And then you show them that and you go, how do you know, they go, how do you get to a business? And that's one of the first things. And you know, I remember having the opportunity to chat with Gary, and that's one of the first things he asked you for, right? Is, you know, what's your 401 and what's your P&L? You can't even sit with the man if you don't have those two things in line. And if he doesn't like them, he won't even take the meeting.
So true, man. And I believe that that's one thing that we need to have is clarity around what we truly call a business, because we throw around business this, business that, and yet it's okay to have a practice, right? It's okay to have a sole proprietorship where you're the person, where you're doing your thing, and that's one thing. The next thing, when you talk about business, you got to learn how to work through people. You got to figure out how to succeed through others. You got to figure out, you know, the budget side of things and operational activities, and so those are all things that and by the way, leadership, right? That's a unspoken part of business. I truly believe that you know, that we just say, we call it a business, and yet business is also synonymous with leadership. If you don't know how to lead people and you're running people out of your organization on a regular basis, that's, and we all have challenges. I mean, turnover is going to happen. And yet how are we doing at continuing to attract people and keep them in our world? Because nobody wants that revolving door.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up too, right? It's the two circles, right? And anyone listening, you won't be able to see me doing this with my hands right now, but, you know, picture your world as the big circle, and anyone within your organization, they're the little circle. And if they outgrow you, they leave you. That's just simply put, right? So if you're going to be in leadership, you're going to decide that, you know, I want to be a leader, I want to run an organization, I want to start a business, you got to actually look yourself in the mirror. I think it's that's in a number of books, right? But look yourself in the mirror and sort of say, you know, am I ready, right? Who do I need to become in order to lead these individuals? And I think the last time I heard it was Goggins talk about it, you know, in his book there, where he says, you know, you got to have that reality check with yourself and be real about it. I think a lot of leaders just ignore that, right? Just whatever, I built a team, I'm good to go. And they don't check in with themselves.
Well, the title goes to the brain. Right. And it's something I talk about often in my little thing going. And yet the title goes to the brain. I mean, because as soon as you get that title, you know, it's like a hallucinogenic. You're right. I don't know what you're on, man. But, you know, it's not what you think it is. And that's with most titles. Right. Yeah. You know, team leader, you know, operating partner. You know, rainmaker, whatever. Those are all, to me, all that just says is a leader, right? It says, right, person developer. Because other people might say, you know, operating principal or team leader comes with, you know, number one parking spot, or you know, hot coffee at 8 a.m. every morning, right? Or, you know, no more having to grab my own lunch. I'm cute, you know, and that's where most people are like, okay, let me grab, where's my desk? Where's my view? Let me get my foot, you know, my foot up. And I got all these, what's that word? All these, you amenities. Know, these people, amenities, and these people running, you know, delegates or whatnot, right? People running around on my behalf, and I get to call the shots behind the desk. And I know, and so you talk to enough agents, they can't stand that about some of their managers.
Yeah. Well, then that word right there, right? That manager word.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if that's your mindset, that's the way you're coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things my coach and I always talk about is, you know, when you make that jump from that sole proprietorship into business leadership, whatever that looks like for you, mm-hmm. you've become a part of the people business. You're no longer in the real estate business. You are now in the people business, whether you like it or not. And that is your job. I heard you say develop people. And I don't think we spend enough time focusing on that, right? Looking down, or actually, you know, I always say looking up. And so the model I used to use used to be, you know, typically the team leader sits up at the top. You picture a triangle, team leaders at the top, and then you've got, you know, agents below them, and then operations staff below them, and they're just barking orders from their high chair. And when I decided to come into it, I thought, you know what? What if we put leadership on the bottom?
Right.
Right. And we build up, right? We build where leadership grows operations and sales, and then we grow and help and support the agents. And kind of like Gary Keller did, right? You make the agent the client.
And you're 100% right about that. And that's something that I, you know, and great leaders are all over the place. And if you can take those success and bring those clues into your team, like I don't care if you're in insurance, you're in mortgage, you can learn a whole lot from Gary Keller. And like, I'm a professional, like, you know, stalker of GK. I'm trying to figure out what he's eating today. I got to get my GK food. Because, you know, there's a lot of respect there around what he's been able to do and have a privatized company get to as big as he's been able to get to, where everybody today, I mean, I don't know, you probably watched the markets. Everybody today wants to go public, right? Before they have profit. And that's the new hot thing is the no longer profit economy, right? We're in a digital, let's get something out there in front of a bunch of people, and then they'll buy it, and then we'll be profitable. you know, I don't know what comes first. It used to be the chicken, then the egg. And now we're saying you can get a whole chicken and then you start producing some eggs. I don't know. I mean, so, you know, for me, when you brought that up, it just hit a mark there of, you know, we've got to be very clear about who we intend to be, get those successful people that we can have a line shot of and just learn from, you know, what they're doing. So, you know, much respect to bring that up.
No, I think you're completely right. What I'm trying to remind people of is, you know, we saw this once before. Like, if everyone forgets, we already had a dot-com bubble burst, right? Like, we had that, right? That was the same sort of mentality for the tech industry where these people were looking at tech. And it's sort of happening again, but it's happening within real estate. And it's the same model. It's just, you know, over-leveraged, overextended, get to the market, you know, get your IPO out there as quick as possible and hope and pray that that's going to be a strategy.
And you know, hope is not a strategy, right? And that's a very interesting thought. And that's where we are today. And it's just like when the money is coming too fast, that's when we start to say, whoa, what's going on here? Right. I'm a Google user. I use Google. Right. And I'm proud of it. I'm an Android guy. And the fact that Clubhouse hasn't created anything for Android yet. And they're worth what they're saying that they're worth $750 million or almost $1 billion now. And you don't even have half the users in the world on that device. And I mean, come on. I mean, for a software that you can, it's basically a conference call on steroids.
Yeah.
And it's worth $1 billion today. Again, I say, hey, much respect to the software, the technology. Obviously, people want it and they could use it. And yet it's worth $1 billion today. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't know. And you know, I don't knock any of these other companies with what they're doing, right? I mean, the leaders, they're ambitious. They're doing what they need to do. They're making a lot of money. I don't know if everybody realizes that, you know, the closer you get to the top in some of these organizations, the more money they're making.
Yep.
And they're doing it on your backs. The problem I see is there's no give back, right? There's no give back to the agents, right? So these agents that are coming in, I had this conversation with somebody the other day. I was like, okay, that's great. You know, you're going to come in, you're going to do all this stuff. I get it. You've never recruited an agent in your life. So good luck with that part of the system. You know, you got stocks and bonds, you got this, you got that, and that's cool. And again, you know, I hit him with that. That's great.
That's great. You know,
what happens when the market tanks, right? What happens when we see the shift the other way? What happens if, you know, COVID doesn't go away as quickly as these guys are hoping for? Like, what if? And they kind of go, well, what's your plan? And I go, a stable business. That's my plan. You know?
Andre, I mean, cheers to you, right? You know, it's you're 100% on that. And like you go back to something that you said, building a business off of, right, or making profit off of everybody else's backs. And if you look at some of these companies, right, you can actually go in, and obviously the beauty of being public is that your information is public and you can see when the executives are taking profit out of the company, selling their shares off. And you can see that. And so if you go into some of these companies who are publicly traded, you can see that a lot of their executives are milking that thing for cash, selling off a decent amount, hundreds of millions of dollars, because, right? Why? They can, right? And and it reminds me a lot of, in certain cases, Enron, right? And that whole Enron story about, you know, it was inflation of stock price to get the value up and increase revenue. And that's literally all they watch is, and they had their own company and their own employees putting money right back into the company. Hey, you know what? Buy the stock, wealth. No, absolutely, we talk wealth. And yet when it starts to feel like a little bit of a Ponzi type of scheme, that's something that we got to be very wary of. And I know of agents who've decided to go for the quicker dollar versus actually learning to become better. Going to your question is, who might you have to become to lead an organization? Hey, give me the blue pill, right? I want in on the matrix.
Yeah. let me at it, right?
And no Morpheus. Teach me everything you need to know. All right. How do you get a by the way, career visioning? We got a great course in KW, career visioning. If you go through the whole process, it's like a week long course. I had an agent asking, hey, how can I get that in 2 hours? You got an hour and a half? I said, it was just like, my soul left my body for a second. I said, what did he say? Because I know how many times I went through it, how many days, how many weeks I've spent in that class. And I instruct it now. Yeah. So I'm a career vision instructor. So I have that certain level of respect. And that's one thing that you know, if we may, I mean, Andre, what are your thoughts about the respect necessary around your business and the industry? When you respect your industry, when you respect your business, your craft, enough to know that you might fail at any given basis, like how humbling is that, and how might you show up differently, like from your perspective? Because I've got mine. I want to get from
that's you. That's a huge, huge question. That's a loaded question as well. But you know, just over my shoulder here, we talk about that hustle, and that doesn't end, you know, with just simply, like you said, coming in. I don't think 90% of our industry respects what we do or respect the industry. And I saw an article yesterday. We actually shared it with our team, and it was, you know, if you've lost your job, real estate might be an avenue for you. This is like a public, you know, it's in the National Post, it's Canada wide. And I, you know, in the article, I'm reading it, and one of the lines say, you know, if you're a woman, and they flat out said this, if you're a woman who's been laid off, real estate might be the career for you, because you can watch the kids' soccer games while doing the offer in your car.
Okay.
So, you know, that got me heated, right? Because not only do you have the piece of it that now just set women back, you know, 50, 60 years.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, they also took a dig at our industry that, you know, you can look at it and say that we are part-timers in everything that we do. And I think that that has to change, because when you rank us, the general public still sees us just a notch above used car salespeople.
Right.
Just above. Like, we're barely above them. And if we continue to operate that way, it's why everyone's targeting us. It's why we are, like I mentioned, everyone's building their businesses on our backs. It's why every company coming in says, hey, you know what? For one deal, we can give you this. It's why there's all these blue pills out there. And there's just a lack of overall respect from the consumer to the real estate agents and in leadership in most other organizations, that they haven't realized that this is one of the biggest, most profitable business on the face of the planet. People say only three things in life are guaranteed. I like to add the fourth, which is you have to live somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. It's birth, death, and taxes is what people normally say. Well, in the meantime, between birth, death, and taxes, I got to live somewhere. So we are that fourth piece of it, and we should garner just as much respect and professionalism as any other industry out there, if not more. Because the Fortune 500, they all live somewhere and all had to interact with a real estate agent at some point through their journey. And we need to bring that professionalism and that respect to the industry and elevate us above everybody else. That's my stand on it.
I love that you said that. When we put that at a higher regard, I feel that we show up differently. I believe that we show up with more, obviously, respect, more humility. By the way, more intention around education, because we respect the fact that we may fail at this at any given moment, that the market may change, that a COVID may hit, and then all of a sudden we have to go completely digital, right? All these things that we may or may not have seen coming, that we've, because of an understanding that we may fail at any given moment, that we are working to stay ahead of it. So that's something that's so important. I believe we need to touch on.
It massively is. And you know, I know we're almost out of time. We're going to be out probably in the next 10 minutes or so, but one of the things I wanted to touch on was back to you. I mean, you were a big part, and I know a number of, you know, you, Mercedes, there's a whole number of us that are, you know, people of color. And you're actually the first guest that I've had on that's of color. And I wanted to kind of go there, because real estate and people of color, there's there's a big misalignment there, in my opinion, whether it's from leadership, whether it's from sales and everything else. And I know that you're doing what I'm doing, which is now tackling that journey, social equity and injustice and all that stuff. What's your take on what needs to happen, or where do you see that heading going forward within our industry?
Great question, man. I believe that it's only going to get better.
Has to.
Because now that we're having the conversation more regularly, we can now do something about it because people are paying attention. I like to believe anyway. I think it's more evident because of obviously multiple reasons, social media and all that. However, one of the things that came to light, and actually why I jumped back into leadership, because I was a team leader for about four and a half years. And I took a step back. The whole George Floyd thing happened in March. And at this time I was out of leadership for about 4 months. And by the way, I was loving it. I get to show up whenever I want to. And I got focusing on my personal agent business. And then, I was coaching, Bold. And so, at that time, when everything occurred, that's when I really started going to focusing on back into leadership, not specifically being in it myself, because I wasn't in that line of succession for the operating principal or partner opportunity at that time. Yet it was just doing something that I knew that had to be, that having the conversation that I knew that had to be had, because I think it was 5% of National Association of Realtors here in the States, 1.3 million people are Black, yeah. Right? 5%. And when you look at, that discrepancy, that's it. That's so when we have less Black realtors, people oftentimes are going to get education and information from the demographic that they were around, right? Whether it be age, sex, or background, color, that's where they're going to get majority of their information from. And if there's not a lot of people of color who are realtors in people's circles that they're used to being around, how are you going to know how to buy a home? Right. If for me, honestly, real estate probably wouldn't have been a choice if my father wasn't a realtor, right? And a mortgage person. So that's what got me in the mindset of saying, you know what, if he can do it, I could do it. And, I'm going to get started, right? And doing it that way. So, I believe that's why it's important. So when we work to get more people of color into real estate, by osmosis, I believe we're going to see that home ownership rate jump through the roof over time, because we're now having more people who are fiduciaries who are responsible to have that dialogue and really work through their spheres of influence. Because if we know, again, I mean, most business comes from repeat and referral. So our sphere of influence are in database. So you're going to work with the people that you know. And yet, how many people know a Black realtor?
Very few.
Right, very few. Now, how many people know a Black realtor that's a top producer?
Even less.
So, right. So when we talked about the leadership change recently, at the very top, right, president leadership role, there's a lot of conversation about, hey, how come none of those people were of color? And I go back and I say, well, let's do some math, yeah. Right? Out of 1.3 million realtors, you've got maybe 5%. That comes out to be roughly about what, maybe 70 to 80,000. People to choose from now. And I only know of two people in the whole company. And I know a lot of leaders who of color that are Black that would have been able to take on that role. Two.
Yeah.
And I know that both of their plates are extremely full already. You know what I mean? So it's like, if we only have two to choose from, right? Maybe three.
I think you're at two. I think you're right. And we're probably going to retain two people.
And two are in the same household, right? Husband and wife.
Uh-huh.
So, then there's only three, right? Three options. So it's like out of 180,000 agents in KW, right? 190,000 when you look at, the worldwide. So, I mean, I feel that we need to own that.
Yeah.
We obviously we've had our challenge, and now we've got that wake up call. And it's on me. That's why I jumped back into leadership. I took it. It's on me to get the message out, to share the vision, to share what's possible, to share what I have the opportunity to do on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So that's my mission. Honestly, that's why I'm back in the seat, right? The title sounded good. Yeah. And yet when you talk about, you and I talk about the day to day, right?
Yeah. I'm with you, man. And that's, you know, I'm glad you brought that up and said that. Right. And, you know, there's the education portion. I know we keep coming back to education, but you're right. You know, if we aren't educating the people of color of all races, right. I mean, if we aren't educating, we aren't showing the way, we aren't showing the path. And then, you know, even just from being Black and being able to tackle it from our end, mm-hmm. there's not enough of us in leadership, because there's not enough of us in the intake. There's not enough through the program. There's not enough homeowners that are like, it's just not enough, period. And so, you know, you and I have kind of that task of doing it. And it's crazy, because we've got our social equity committee, and you know, she's doing incredible things with it, and we don't even have a template to follow, right? I mean, we're still trying to catch up, and we're building it out for what we need. But it's the same thing. There's almost 2,000 realtors on the board, and there's less for us. It's less than probably 2% that are of color. And that is huge, right? So we're trying to show how that changes. But, you know, within my first month, I had an issue that I had to terminate an agent from. And you know, I flat out said, it's a no tolerance. Like, we're just not even gonna tolerate it. And so, you know, I had a lot of backlash from it. A lot of people call me and sort of say, you know, man, like, that was harsh. You know, this person's business, this and that. And I said, you know what, though? He had no right. And you know, I don't care, because it's at the end of the day, if we don't start taking a stand against this sort of stuff, it's going to affect our grandkids, our great grandkids. And at some point, you know, we gotta get to that word equality, you know, across the globe. So thank you for sharing. I won't stay here long. I know we're just about out of time, Brian. I always ask everyone, and this catches everyone off by surprise, so I'm sorry if it does to you as well. I ask for like a mic drop moment. Like, what's something that you are telling an agent right now, or you are saying to people that they need to hear from Brian?
You know, I would say it's a little bit about what we shared earlier in regards to respecting the game. I mean, I'm a large Kobe Bryant fan out of Southern California. I mean, I watched the guy, you know, execute on his craft every single day. And you know, it goes around, you know, a legacy, right? We all want to leave an outstanding legacy. And that guy left a phenomenal legacy for not only basketball, you know, people of color, fatherhood, you know, just a giver and just an astounding example. I believe his example in basketball showed how, with the right attitude, preparation, and respect for the game, what could be possible. And in my opinion, one of the greatest of all time. And so when I look at that, and I work to model that in my same craft. So when we're talking about leaving a legacy, you can't leave a legacy unless you're living a legacy. And unless you're living that legacy every single day, the one that you would choose to leave, you're really not, you're offering, you're handing off an empty bag. And so the goal is to, you know, live that every single day. Now, are there going to be days that we fall off? Are there going to be days where we're challenged? Are there going to be days where, you know, we don't get up on time, or we don't make all the calls, or we don't follow through on certain things? That's fine. And yet, what's your bounce back like? Right? While you're beating yourself up and you're in judgment of yourself, could you be getting right back up and getting right back going on the routine that you know is going to lead you to greatness? And so with that, you know, and this is a great book, The 12 Week Year. It talks about greatness is in the moment, right? Greatness is in the moment that you choose to be great, when, even when you don't feel like it, when you don't feel like getting up, right? You know, when you don't, you know, get your day started on time, or whatever the case is, or you don't feel like it, even though you don't feel like it, when you choose to do it in that moment, that's greatness, right? Greatness is not a destination, it's a moment to moment situation. And so when you're doing things that you're not willing to do, or you don't want to do, and yet you're doing it anyway, because you know who you're doing it for, not yourself, and yet for your family and for the rest of the people who are watching around you, you're great.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. That was deep, and definitely a mic drop moment. How do people get a hold of you? Is social media the best place to track you down, hit you up on Instagram if someone's looking to connect with you in the SoCal area?
Yes, sir. At Brian E. Real Estate on Instagram, and you'll find me from there. And let's keep doing this great work. And Andre, I appreciate what you're doing, man. You know, my my Canadian counterpart, man. So I appreciate you. Anything that I can do to help, and you and your team, you know, you definitely got a fan down here.
We appreciate it as well. And same from this side, my brother. And guys, if you're looking for us, we're the Real Estate Hustle Podcast. You can find us on Spotify, on Google. We are everywhere as well. And please stay tuned. We're going to have Brian back. I feel like there's so much more we didn't even cover. We just barely scratched the surface. I got to have you back on because I want to keep getting into that mind of yours. But definitely appreciate you coming at it from the leadership side of things as well, and really imparting that knowledge. And, you know, we've kind of stayed in touch for a little while now, and I'm happy that we've connected because you're doing some incredible things, and I'm excited to see where you go as well, my man. So appreciate you. And if anyone's trying to get a hold of Brian, look him up on Instagram. Is probably the best way to connect.
At Brian E Real Estate. And thank you, Andre. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, sir.